Hi everybody, and welcome to the Greater Than 11% panel show. Today is the third of our series of COVID-related panels, and today is all about content in the time of COVID. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome two absolutely top-notch guests to this month's panel, alongside myself and the fabulous Renee. The first is Jenny Hollander, Director of Content Strategy at Mary Claire, a Bustle alum and self-described feminist, dog-obsessed, and hopelessly British. Jenny and I were together at school, where she was as unattainably cool as she is today. She's always had an unmistakably dry tone of voice and sense of humour, and is also the creator of words like the Quorum Brow. We are also joined by Lucy Ferguson, Head of Content for Think with Google. Unfortunately for her, we sit next to each other at work. She makes a mean cup of tea, she leads with kindness, and she is helping businesses across the UK discover resources, tools, and insights to navigate this dynamic market. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, thank you for having me. This is Jenny.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you both join us today. Jenny, thank you also for kind of joining in the middle of your working day. Massively appreciate that.
It is my pleasure to take a little break and talk to you.
So how are you today? Let's start with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well today. I feel like in quarantine, maybe this is true of all of us, I have times where I feel like I am on the verge of a meltdown. And then I have times where I feel like everything is completely fine. I'm just chilling at home on the sofa like normal. And today I'm having a more stressful day. But generally, I'm fine. And it is a beautiful day here as well. It's a little bit earlier for you guys. It's mid-afternoon.
And why is it particularly stressful at the moment for you? Is that work related or?
Well, interestingly, this isn't work related at all. But one thing that the coronavirus pandemic has affected is visa processing, and it is my luck that my visa expires in about 3 months. I am very, very happy to say that my company, Hearst, has been incredibly supportive. They've done everything they can to try and fast track the process and make sure that it all goes as smoothly as we were expecting to pre-pandemic. But there are days where I just completely spiral and think I'll have to leave my job, my home, my partner, my dog. The chances of that actually happening is small, but you never really know what's going to happen in Trump's America, especially when it comes to visas. That's the kind of day I'm having.
I can't think of anything more draining than having to like be part of processes that you can't really predict and all of that admin. I mean, it would also be a gain for us if you came back, although very annoying for you and your partner.
I will come back. We talk a lot about how we want to come back and we want to get married, but on our own terms. We have looked into having Zoom wedding if necessary. I'm really hoping it doesn't come to that. If I can get through the next year or two without having a Zoom wedding, I will consider it a success.
Lucy, how about you? How are you doing today?
Doing really well, thank you. All employees of Google got given a day off tomorrow. So I'm just looking into a 4-day weekend, which is really, really nice. And I've actually taken Tuesday to Friday off as holiday, and it's my birthday this weekend. So I've got that slightly childlike feeling of giddiness that you get just before a holiday, and the weather looks like it's going to be nice as well, so I'm having a lovely day today. I can't complain at all.
Excellent. And Renee, how about you?
Firstly, happy birthday for this weekend.
Thank you.
I can see the giddiness on your face. It made me feel giddy, so that's so lovely. I'm good, Crystal. I have to say, like, today is the first day in the last 14 days that I haven't had a horrendous toothache. I have been in absolute agony, and because of lockdown dentists, there's no access. So I've absolutely been shattered by it. But I have managed through NHS routes, etc., to get some amoxicillin, which I knew I needed. And so I've started that today. And yeah, I feel a little bit more human again and not a miserable wreck.
Tooth pain is the worst as well, because it's so directly near in your head. So that sounds horrible, but glad that it's better today. This week has been the first week of lockdown where I've actually felt a bit wobbly. I've really, as you know, kind of felt like I've been able to benefit from a lot of the things that lockdown has meant, from a not having to commute perspective, feeling a bit calmer, having some routine, all of those things. So I felt really good. But then this week, I actually think the relaxation of the rules threw me off a little bit. The ambiguity created more, like it opened the door, and suddenly I want to go through that door and like run through it, party in the park and do all kinds of things that I wouldn't normally do. But I think my brain clearly deals better in absolutes. Also, if you're logical and questioning, then you start to question like, okay, I know that I can't stay 2 meters away from people in the street because it's just not possible. And then you think, okay, well, if you meet people in a park 2 meters away, but then, I don't know, it just makes you question a lot of those facts. Like, if people are playing tennis and then they're touching the same ball, does that? So there are a lot of questions that I just don't have solid answers to that make me question a lot of the things. So I think I just need to go back through the door and pull it closed in my mind. I found it a bit difficult week, coupled with a bit of kind of work ambiguity. It hasn't been the best week, but I'm actually okay with that because the other weeks have been great.
It is that constant shifting though, isn't it? It's that whole thing, you know, like Jenny was saying with the visas, like it's in the back of your mind. It's that whole thing about, can I go out? What's acceptable? What's not? Sometimes I do think the absolutes is, you know, we've got to stay inside, that's it. So you deal within that unit. Once it kind of gets a bit blurry, then you have to start making decisions as well. What's okay and what's not.
I agree. It's easier when you can remove yourself entirely from it. We're still very locked down here in New York. It is easier in that I have no great urge to go and party in the park, Crystal, only because I know full well I absolutely cannot. Everyone, including my boyfriend and all my friends, would throw a fit, and it is probably easier that way.
In Australia this week, they released, like proper released the lockdown. And I was speaking to Pascal, my best friend, who's also been a former guest. And she was saying that she walked in the park and she absolutely freaked out because everyone was everywhere. And yeah, okay, there might've been some distance, but there was no way that 2 meters was in place. And she is like, well, they're kind of testing the waters and she doesn't want to be part of that test. It definitely has that anxiety.
And then there's also the natural bit of missing human interaction. And then you start thinking like, oh, well, should I be arranging to see people 2 meters apart and have a chat and see them? I think that kind of, you know, the overwhelm of like, oh, there are all these people who I haven't spoken to in ages. Suddenly there's almost that expectation. Like, I had a few people asking if I wanted to go for walks this week, and then suddenly 2 mornings and 2 evenings were like potential times. Luckily, like, they pretty much all cancelled, but I was like, oh god, like, all of this time is being taken up again. Like, I don't like this. I had all this time to myself before.
I was reading an article this week that talked about the fear of missing out, that people are going on walks and meeting in the park and you're not, and you're missing out, but also fear of going out. You've got them both at the same time.
Yeah, it's a pretty lethal combination. So let's move on from parties in the park to thinking about content during a time of COVID. A little bit of context is that over the last couple of content episodes, we have mentioned that we've been watching, listening and reading slightly different things to what we might do usually. And so we thought it would be a really interesting area to explore with two absolute experts within the industry. I'd love to start off by asking you, Lucy, how COVID has impacted your particular relationship with content.
It's actually been the complete opposite to what I expected. So when we first started hearing about coronavirus and potential lockdown, and lockdown became more and more a real thing that was going to happen, I thought, I'm going to read all of the books, actual physical real books I've had on my shelves for so long. I'm going to have all this time to read and get through them. And, you know, I have a Kindle and I read a lot, but I'll get through these books. And actually, I just have not been able to read at all. I normally do a book a week, more or less. And I think I've got through two in the 8 weeks that I've been at home. It's incredible. It's really surprising. What I have found, though, is that I haven't found it that easy to go outside. I live in quite a built-up area, and like you were saying, in the park there's just people everywhere, and it almost makes you feel a bit tense going too close to people. And so in order to force myself to go out, I found a really good book, downloaded the audiobook, and then I've been, every time I go out, I don't listen to it at home ever, but every time I go out I listen to that book. It's sort of a treat for me to get out in the fresh air and get out walking around South London.
I love that. You talked to me about it the other day when we were having a chat, that it's your incentive to do something. I love that you're using it as well. How about you, Jenny?
A lot of podcasts. I have a dog, which you will know if you even have a vague following of me in social media. All I do is post about my dog, with my dog, etc. So what I like to do a lot is just kind of walk around on some of the less crowded streets with him, just be outside and listen to a good podcast. And one podcast that I have been particularly into and have for a while now is a podcast called You're Wrong About, which is an American podcast, but I think is will still be very interesting to British listeners. I mean, I live in America, but I am British and I haven't heard of a lot of what they cover, and I learn huge amounts. For example, had no idea, but in the 90s, this woman chopped off her husband's penis and it became this huge national joke. I didn't learn about any of that until I listened to this podcast. It's like being embedded in a story that you had no idea about, and then you find out that America had a completely different view of it than actually occurred. You're Wrong About is really about how we as a society looked at these big scandal stories, human interest topics of the time, and how essentially we were wrong about everything. And so it covers stuff like Kurt Cobain's copycat suicide paranoia, Monica Lewinsky, how we were all wrong about that, but that's pretty common knowledge now. Perry Schiavo, Tonya Harding, Kitty Genovese, all these stories that we are so familiar with, or at least we think we're very familiar with them, and then we kind of go back to them, revisit them, and find out we were completely wrong about all of it. And I find it bizarrely soothing to put myself into that completely different story and this world that I was not a part of, and these memories that are not mine, and to kind of just be there for an hour or two.
Is there a common thread as to how and why there were such differences between what happened and what was generally perceived at that time?
As a member of the media, I feel bad saying this, but a lot of it was really sexist media coverage. I don't know if Tonya Harding was ever a big story in the UK. She was a Olympic figure skater who was completely vilified for reportedly breaking one of her competitor's knees. It turns out that was actually because she was, long story short, in a very abusive relationship, and he took it upon himself to enact revenge for her. However, the media painted it as, you know, woman versus woman, of course, and as her trying to take down this woman who was set to beat her for a spot on the Olympic team. So a lot of it is just stereotypes of that age, and it's so interesting to look back 10, 20 years and see how we have evolved as a press and also as a society.
And who had control and a voice at that time is interesting. Yeah. Well, have you seen the film I, Tonya?
No, I haven't. Although they talk,
I think now you've listened to the podcast, I'm definitely up for listening to that, but I think you will love that film because it actually incorporates interviews with her as well. It'll be like, be able to indulge that like interest a bit more.
And what about from a kind of social media or any other perspective? I mean, Renee, how have you found yourself interacting with content?
Yeah, I have definitely seen over the COVID journey, let's call it that, that I have definitely scaled back to, for want of a better word, more analog practices. So I have been pulling books off the shelf, visual books, and like my visual focus has gone back to really tactile things and looking at books and, you know, things that I haven't pulled off the shelf for a while. And I definitely feel like in terms of like my social media consumption, I'd say that has gone down. I've just found a little bit overwhelmed, like everyone seems to be, and our favorite word, pivoting and producing content that is just like, you know, how to do this, how to do that. And some of it doesn't feel very good quality. Some of it feels very rushed and there's so much of it. So I kind of like recoil from that. And I found myself, even with podcasts, which I'm a huge podcast listener, as you know, kind of listening to music, which I never do. So it's just really interesting, like that shift of like tapping back into, I guess, less structured and formatted ways of being like stimulated by content. I definitely found myself as well moving back to more independent cinema, stuff that I've wanted to watch for a while, either via the BFI player or actually Mubi have released their whole library collection, which is so exciting. And I found myself really drawn to that as opposed to, as you know, I love a good binge on anything Netflix. So yeah, I'd say it's definitely changed.
I think I've been listening to a lot more music than I normally would as well. I've been having the radio on when I cook, and I've definitely, as soon as it gets to like pens down, end of work, I think it's because we spend a lot of our days on video conferences. So you spend a lot of your day sort of listening to voices generally. And so it's just really nice to mark the end of the day for me. Couldn't imagine listening to a podcast after having listening to people on video conference all day. I shouldn't say that, should I? Listening to a podcast.
Stay listening, listeners, please don't abandon us now because of Lucy's comment.
I think there's a sense of community in listening to the radio that I've never needed before, probably. And secondly, I've just really like, it's really marked a change in my day to the evening to hear music.
I also think that, and this is so much darker, as to what you said, Lucy, it's, for me, it's about reminding myself that the world continues to turn. And even though I'm in my apartment, everything looks the same every single day. I'm having the same routines every single day. I like to listen to music and listen to podcasts just to remind myself that the world's still turning, that things are still happening, that time is still passing. Otherwise, if I sit here all day kind of on my computer working away and it's completely quiet, I find it quite eerie.
I think that this is actually reinforcing some stats that I thought would be interesting in the context of this conversation, but also to our listeners. I thought it would be quite amusing for you all to know that apparently kids' bop streams trumped both Rolling Stones and Cardi B globally in terms of what people have been searching for. So obviously lots of kids' music. But also, Lucy, picking up on your point around the people listening to the radio, even though car journeys are significantly down due to lockdown, consumers are on average listening to much more radio. So I think 28% of consumers are listening to radio more, according to Nielsen. And a lot of that, I think, is because of that feeling part of a community, and also radio is being seen as a really trusted form of finding out information about the news or your local community. And in terms of podcasts, we touched on this a little bit, Renee, I think a couple of episodes ago, but podcast listenership took a dip in March, but has started to rebound in May. But what I found really interesting was that the number of new podcasts submitted to Spotify was up 69% month over month in March, because I think people are at home and there's quite a relatively low barrier to entry on creating a podcast. The amount of content out there is a lot higher. And apparently the winning combination is news and comedy rather than sports and culture. Well, we can come on to that afterwards, whether you've seen those kind of trends in your relative worlds. Before we go into that, I'd love to hear from you all about what your favourite piece of lockdown or COVID related content has been. Renee, do you want to go first on that one?
Yeah, so there's this amazing artist illustrator called Ruby. She creates the most comical kind of illustrations and drawings, and she's produced like posters and cards and stuff like pre-lockdown, and she's like well established, but she has been really creating kind of cartoon strips and illustrations based on her experiences going through lockdown, which have been quite fraught. And so they're really amusing, and you like laugh out loud, but you then suddenly have this like overwhelming sense of empathy, like, oh yes, that's exactly how I was feeling and I didn't realize it. And I just love what she does. And she created, I think I might've shared it with you, Crystal, she created this amazing illustration where she's like, bread is the tampon for all emotions. And it's just so brilliant. And she's just really simple illustrations, but really poignant. If anyone's listening and wants to find her, she's Ruby Etc. on Instagram.
Also tea bags, right?
Yeah, big vats of it.
And what's been your favourite piece of COVID-related content, or anything that you've read, watched or listened to throughout lockdown?
So forgive the self-promotion, but we at Marie Claire commissioned this fantastic piece. New York was the epicenter of the pandemic in America. We embedded ourselves with a nurse who usually works in the oncology unit and was obviously redeployed to the COVID unit. And this was in the weeks before the peak of coronavirus in New York City. So it was a really frightening time when the cases were just rising and rising and more patients were coming through than this nurse or any medical professional could possibly normally deal with. And we worked with her for days and days to really get a sense of what her life was like and what it is like being inside a hospital at the peak of something like this when you are literally in its epicenter. So that is something that I'd really recommend. It's a feature, it's called Death Surrounds Her. We published it last month, and I think that's the thing that we are most proud of doing so far throughout this entire pandemic. It is a very chilling and eye-opening read.
Wow, I'll definitely look that up. Have you felt that during lockdown, the types of content that you, this is a very leading question, but do you feel like it's kind of where you feel something strongly is something that you're more attracted to? I feel quite ambivalent about 90% of content, but where there's like a really strong story that either makes me like deeply sad or shocked or laugh, then I'm kind of much more, it's something that I'll actually persevere with rather than general interest, general news stuff.
Yes. I mean, we generally as a brand, Marie Claire US has always been known for its features. We have an amazing, amazing features director. And so our contribution to the conversation around coronavirus has largely been feature related. We did an entire series on being pregnant during coronavirus or trying for a baby during coronavirus. We've also done some amazing essays on being Asian American during coronavirus. I actually don't know if this is the same in the UK. Unfortunately, I suspect so, but there's been a huge uptick in Asian American racism across America. Doing Ramadan over the coronavirus pandemic. We had an amazing essay on that. And then we had this fantastic feature last week about how Ukraine is kind of the center of European surrogate. And a lot of them have given birth and they are unable to get these children to their parents because they can't leave the country. Or if the parents have traveled to Ukraine, they can't leave the country. So in Ukraine, there are so many surrogates trapped, newborns abandoned, who are essentially being taken care of by these surrogate agencies. That, again, I think is an amazing read.
That actually makes me want to quit my job immediately and work for Mary Claire, because I just, yeah, I find that so interesting. It's like, it's kind of, I guess, like human ethnography and then conveying it in a relatable way, which I love. And also, as great as Google is, feels very far away from a lot of the day-to-day work that we do. Lucy, what about you?
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't follow up with me. Mine sounds completely ridiculous compared to such hard-hitting stuff. But what the piece of content that I've really enjoyed during the coronavirus or COVID-related content was called Party in a Google Doc. And it was just a piece of writing on Medium about somebody who was trying to hold a party and they couldn't work out the best way of doing it in lockdown. And so they created a Google Doc and they named the tabs kitchen, cloakroom, living room, garden, and then they just invited friends who were allowed to invite their friends along in a Google Doc for a couple of hours. And it's just adorable. It's a beautifully written article, which really helps. So one of the lines is, it's getting late. Most remaining animals, and they're called animals because when you go on a Google Doc anonymously, you're called like anonymous giraffe or something. Most remaining animals have gone idle, like party guests you thought had left, but instead find drunk and asleep in the spare room. It's just so beautifully written. And then it also links to the now lockdown, kept forever Google Doc that you can go and relive the party, like stamp through the empty beer cans. And it's just adorable and a really sweet piece of writing. And yeah, I just really enjoyed it. And obviously I've been trying to think up ideas myself for how to celebrate on, like, when I'm in a flat on my own. So it was a good inspiration.
Lucy, don't worry, because I actually just couldn't think of a very good piece of COVID-related content that I really loved or not, because I think that I just feel so numb towards pretty much everything that I consume at the moment. The only two that were stand out, one of which was Grace Dent's article called If God Wanted Me to Be a Size 8, Would He Have Made Bird's Eye Potato Waffles So Waffly Versatile? Clearly that's like tapping into like a deep carbohydrate laden psychology that like is buried deep within me. And then the second is actually a Studio Ghibli film that I watched a few nights ago with Chris called Spirited Away. And I actually didn't enjoy watching it that much because I'm not very good at suspending my disbelief about things. So obviously it's magical realism and it looks beautiful. And at the time I said to Chris, I was like, this is really boring. And obviously that wouldn't happen. And it's really annoying. And I do really like Studio Ghibli, but I wasn't quite in the mood at the time. But I feel very creatively starved at the moment because I don't feel like I'm getting the exposure to things like tube ads and like out of home advertising and just seeing people in different clothes and fashion and colours and stimulus. And what I am looking at is such a bubble of sameness, of like middle class privileged sameness from all of my friends cooking like their amazing brunches at home and, you know, the Guardian lifestyle section and all those different bits. So I'm aware that that's wholly within my control to search out harder. I think the things that I like is either because it's like it makes me laugh out loud or kind of taps into something very relatable like potato waffles, or it's like takes you off into a different place so that your subconscious can kind of process a little bit. But I've seen that translate in my work a little bit as well, in that I'm finding it harder to come up with different words. I find myself using the same words or tone too much and color schemes and stuff like that. I just haven't found it easy.
It's part of a journey though, isn't it? Like I definitely feel like I've gone through that. Like I said, I'm now needing tactile things. I need to touch the book when I'm like needing my visual stimulus, like looking on Instagram, which I love. It's just not giving it to me. Plus it's filled with loads, like I said, of content of people like how to survive COVID, how to make beautiful bread or whatever it is. And I'm like a bit bored by that. Like I need, like you're saying, I love moving and seeing like being visually stimulated during transit. Like that, it's like being in a live cinema, like for me.
I'm a book publicist's absolute nightmare right now because obviously it's very hard to get physical copies anywhere and obviously everyone's working from home, but I review a lot of books for work. It's more of a hobby than work, but I do a couple of books lists of this job, and recently everyone's been saying, oh, I'll send you a digital galley, and I'm thinking, no, the last thing I want is to spend another day, another hour, another second staring at a screen when all I do is stare at a screen all day. And they keep saying, well, we can't send you a physical copy. And I keep saying, okay, well, I completely, completely understand. I guess I just won't read it, or I'll read it when everything's back up again. And I feel so terrible for them because they obviously really want their books to be reviewed and seen, but I just can't. Oh, it's terrible. I can't do it. I can't do any more time on a screen.
There's a meme that I keep seeing probably on Instagram and everywhere else, which is a day in the life of lockdown. And it's like small screen, small screen, small screen, medium sized screen, medium sized screen, lunch, small screens. And then you get to the evening and then you like watch your TV. So then it's the big screen and then you get into bed and then it's the small screen again. And it's just, that's all it is. It's just different sized screens all day. You're absolutely right.
I can definitely imagine that. Chris was actually telling me earlier that the whole kind of Apple ecosystem is designed for people standing and being able to have a device for every single human action. So the iPad, like for when you're lying down, and the iPhone for just when you're up and around, and then laptop when you're sitting. So for your sit, lie and stand states, you have a device, which I'd never really thought about before. So let's shift gears slightly, because it's been wonderful to hear about how you've been personally impacted in your consumption habits by COVID. But I'd love to hear a little bit about how it's impacted your different work environments and content. So Jenny, if you don't mind starting off, obviously our listeners will know now that you work at Mary Claire. I'd love to hear a little bit about what shifts you've seen in consumption and engagement with your content.
So one thing we've seen people engage a lot more with is what we call service content. And that's when we are kind of offering them a guide to a service that they need or want or could use. And that ranges from everything to how to give yourself a home manicure, how to dye your hair at home, what ball games you can buy and play with your family, friends, husband at home, how to take care of your mental health, various apps you can use to do that. Really anything that offers our readers a service that we can kind of give to them directly. We've seen a huge uptick in that. And that's everything from our curated lists of the best movies and the best podcasts to, again, those stories on how to trim your own eyebrows at home, how to cut your own bangs at home. Readers are really looking for not just levity, which we've always provided. To a point, we've always tried to make sure that there's a lighthearted and really personal tone to a lot of what we write. But they're also looking for genuinely, how do I do that? You know, how do I start investing in indoor plants? How do I grow a herb garden? I'm looking around my apartment trying to think about what other flashes of inspiration we've had. But over the past month, we just keep saying to ourselves, okay, I've been Googling how to tie-dye. If I'm Googling it, I suspect a lot of people are looking at how to tie-dye. Why don't we do an article on how to tie-dye? And then we'll do the article on how to tie-dye. And that's been a lot of our focus over the last month or so. Outside of the features sphere, just helping our audience kind of make it through, not just survive through this time, but thrive as much as they are able.
Love it.
I'm ridiculously spoiled at work because we have a beauty closet, which is very Devil Wears Prada, only with makeup instead of clothing, although we do have that as well. And our beauty editor is very generous about kind of letting me try whatever I want for my eyebrows. So I am spoiled by products. I'm always trying like 5 different things at once. I'm never using the same product, which I know is a very, very good problem to have.
It's also quite different as well from most. I feel like within beauty, especially, people stick to a brand. Or there's definitely a segment of beauty consumers who will buy the same thing religiously and not change. So interesting that you change frequently.
I mean, I don't know if anybody really can jump from product to product with great mirth the way that I do. But I'm very lucky. I can also do that with books, which is, again, another great perk of my job. We have, you know, hundreds of books at work. And if I'm not enjoying a book, it's terrible. I will just put it down and start another one.
Yeah, I do that as well. I think a lot of the stuff that I read is all around kind of leadership, personal development, popular psychology type stuff. And I think at the moment I'm finding it difficult to feel like it's credible or like the right time to be reading about that kind of thing. It's like, okay, well, here's a great framework on how to give feedback, or here's what like empathetic leadership looks like. But right now, with the world in survival mode and economy on its knees, it feels like a very much a kind of privileged preoccupation to be thinking about those things when so many businesses are effectively on their knees right now.
Yeah, I think constantly about the fact that no matter how much I complain, and I complain a lot, ultimately, my boyfriend and I We have our jobs that we love. We have our apartment. We have our health. How much can we really complain before it just gets a bit silly? There are so many people who have suffered from this in so many different ways, from health to finances. And if we are making it through, but we're kind of a little bit, not just bored, but also isolated, then that really, it feels like at times it's silly to feel sad about these things, which I know those things are still valid, but it does help to put things into perspective sometimes and think, all right, come on, we have our health, we have our finances in order. Take a deep breath.
Lucy, what about you? It would be great if you could tell our listeners a little bit around who the target audience for Think with Google is and what shifts you've seen and what people are reading and interacting with.
Think with Google is a website which is for marketers in the UK, and also within marketers, people who work in agencies, be they creative agencies, media agencies, digital agencies, etc. So anyone in that realm, really. Think with Google, I look after the UK version. There are 22 different countries where there is localised content. So at first, people were really interested in just getting to grips with how to work from home, how to be at home. So lots of help with this new normal, which I hate that phrase, sorry. But working from home, how to take events online. And then from there, there was a real interest we found in people wanting to know how to digitise their business. You know, there's been loads of people been saying things like, who's in charge of the digitisation of your business at the moment? Is it your CTO or your marketing director? No, it's coronavirus, right? And the amount of change that's happened in the last 5-8 weeks for businesses. So that's a real need that people are having. We've had a few sort of interesting think pieces about just how much this is changing us and the way that we're thinking. Some of what you said, Crystal, about, I can't just read the normal stuff that I would read. You know, I can't read business books in that way anymore, and I need more. I need to understand, you know, how this is affecting business. It's a really different time. So we've had some really great thought pieces on that. And then the other thing that people are really interested in is what people are searching for. And I thought it was really interesting, Jenny, that a lot of what you said, that the articles that you had on Marie Claire, that they're really in line with some of the trends that we're seeing and that we're writing about. So we really found that it started out with people were really searching for home learning, dumbbells as well, you know, so what are the things that you look at first? From there, it sort of moved into how to cut your hair, how to volunteer, which is really lovely. A couple of weeks after that, it moved into the quietest time to go shopping, and people were really getting into gardening as the sun came out, so compost delivery, pressure washers. And this is all freely available on Google Trends, all this information, but just that really fed into the content we created, what people were searching for in the UK, what they were interested in. And now at the moment, again, some really interesting ones around people looking for walks near me, asking when certain things will reopen, hairdressers, etc. Virtual escape rooms, although that could just be me searching for it a lot. And also just a really lovely poignant search, like when can I see my family, is something that people are looking for at the moment as well, which I just gets me a bit. But we've really found that the content we've created, it's moved as what people are interested in and searching for moves, and it will continue to change, I think, as the weeks go on.
I love that. Or the top 5 breakout COVID related trends in the UK have included, who is Gemma Collins in isolation with, and where is the Queen isolating with? I just find it hilarious. Every day I check the, as you say, widely available Google Trends searches for the UK, and it shows kind of breakout COVID related trends, and I'm just permanently astounded that Gemma Collins is still there.
Is she with the Queen? Is that what's actually happening right now? Gemma Collins and the Queen are together in lockdown.
That would be great content, wouldn't it? That would be like a whole new reality format I would so tune into.
One thing I think is interesting that we've all picked up on is everyone is talking about how to, and suddenly everyone has a voice on how to do something differently, how to connect. Like, people have more time, myself included, at home, and therefore I'm writing more. I'm not particularly qualified to talk about those things, but as everyone has a point of view on what you should be doing, how you should be helping, and it will be interesting to see in the wash up of this, or maybe when they do the episode, Jenny, in your favorite podcast, of like what the reality and the myths were, and you know, where people were listening to key pieces of information. I mean, every time I go home to visit my parents, I have to tackle multiple conspiracy theories with them. Does anyone else have to deal with any parental conspiracy?
I was going to say, my parents are thankfully not conspiracy theory nuts, although I know so many of my friends are. My parents are religious about logic and reason. They're lawyers, so they have their own ways of being crazy. My father in his 60s has taken to talking to all of his stuffed animals, giving them names and taking them on business trips.
Did I give him counsel? Like,
yes. So he has about 7 of them. I'm not, like, both my parents are still very active and really quite senior lawyers. And it's so, I always think, what if your colleagues knew about that you take everywhere with you? You send me photos on WhatsApp of you taking them on long car rides, strapped into their seatbelts. You know, sometimes these animals will comment about current affairs or Brexit or the weather. The rest of the family thinks this is hilarious. I do not find it funny at all, and I'm constantly trying to discourage them.
This is content that needs to be made during COVID, surely.
Oh, I should write an article about this, truly. What do your parents keep pretending the stuffed animals in their house are real people?
It's been really lovely talking to my parents in lockdown. We've had our differences of opinion on certain political things in the past, and actually lockdowns, my mum does a keep fit class, and has done a keep fit class for maybe 40 years in the same village, and she's moved her keep fit class onto Zoom now. Other options are available, of course, and it's been really lovely. Me and my sister have been able to join her every Wednesday on Zoom doing her Keep Fit class, and it's just brilliant. You know, she uses a cassette, there's still tapes. I don't think any of the songs have been updated since maybe 1992. I just love hearing Eternals, like album tracks. It's so brilliant. I just love it. It's been so nice. And we've also been doing a family quiz as well, which is... And the rounds are getting sort of more and more bizarre. My parents always laugh at my... I've got a terrible, terrible singing voice. So I made them listen to me sing theme tunes to TV shows to try and work out. And they didn't even get 5 out of 10. So actually, we've had a lot of laughs. And I think, for me, I would love to, like, when this is all over, us all to go on holiday together, which... You know, we haven't done for years and years and years. I can't wait for us all to be back together again. So I found it really different. I haven't, you know, I think we've had our differences of opinion in the past before Corona, but this has been a really lovely time, actually.
You both talked about some brilliant content throughout this podcast. If you could share with our listeners one read, watch or listen recommendation, I'd love to hear what it is and why. So Jenny, will you start?
Well, I was very, very late to this game because, as with a lot of things, I moved to the US in my early 20s, so I missed out on a lot of British cultural touchstones, really. And then I kind of found them later in life and kind of thought of it as a revelation. So I discovered Desert Island Discs, which I realize everybody in the UK knows about, but I discovered this maybe 2 years ago, and I have been going through the archives, which I think date back to the 40s, for the best part of 2 years now. Really find them all either online and listen to them on your phone or just via a podcast app. And I find those so incredibly soothing because they're so macro. Everybody on there really looks at their life kind of through this lens that you don't really on a daily basis. You know, you're not thinking about details, you're not thinking about what you've got to do today. These people are looking at their lives from a very wide lens and kind of saying, right, what are these moments that have defined my life? And I think that, at least for me, it gives me a lot of perspective when I listen to it. I find that whenever I'm feeling like I'm in a sticky spot or I'm feeling stressed, listening to one of those episodes from someone I admire or someone I've never even heard of really puts everything in perspective for me. Even in a time as scary as this, I think we can all kind of use a bit of zoning out and thinking about the bigger picture.
You have 2 diehard Radio 4 fans here, so massive plus one on that. You kind of fall in love with anyone that you hear. I think anyone's story on this. Also, wherever you often, I, you know, catch it midway through and you're just so intrigued, like, who is this person? What's their story? You get so drawn in. It's such a simple...
I know some of my favorites are from people I had never heard about, and some of my least favorites are from people that I absolutely love. It's bizarre.
Also, it might just be me, but as a like teenage music snob, like completely terrible teenage music snob and into my early 20s, I make terrible judgments on people based on their songs. Like, it's such a bad thing. But this person that I really loved, the songs that they chose, like, it's put me right off them. Or vice versa, there'll be someone on there who I didn't know so much about, and I'll hear the music that they choose, and I just think that is so incredible and so similar to what I would listen to on a desert island. I really love it as well, but maybe more for making snap judgments on people based on the number of songs, quality of their tunes.
I really don't know someone And then, like, you have no idea what they look like. You really have very little idea of their background, but you're putting together a picture visually of who they are in their life and this, like, amazing life journey, because it's so well scripted and formatted and moves fairly quickly. So you're doing these milestones, like in, like, skip hop jumps, and it's, yeah, I don't know, I love knowing that. And then I get obsessed and I have to go and then Google them, and just, yeah, I just love it. That's such a good shout. And that archive is epic.
I always judge people who choose songs that are kind of in my recent living history. Lucy, what about you?
Okay, so just following on the trend of being in talking meetings all day, I tell you what I've really enjoyed. I've really enjoyed digital radio listening to FIP. It is a French radio station. So I don't speak, well, I mean, I speak, barely speak French, not enough to understand what's going on. So it is just the music that I hear. I don't even know who the songs are by half the time. So I can completely zone out. And it's really, I listen in the evening, so it's quite esoteric. There'll be some jazz piece followed by some world music that I've never heard of before, followed by like an indie song from my childhood. And I really enjoy listening to it, and I really enjoy not having to engage in anyone speaking for, you know, an hour in the evening.
Is it like you're on holiday, like you're just nipping over to France in the evening?
Exactly that, exactly that. In fact, I've been doing some weird, like, evenings where I'll have a themed evening. I don't know if you talked about this on a previous podcast, but I had like an Italian evening where I tried to read my brilliant friend is it, and eat Italian food and listen to Italian music, just as something different to do, because I'm in my flat all the time. So yes, it does feel like being abroad, definitely.
Renee, do you want to share one?
So I have been really late to the game on this one, but I am so enjoying it. So I got a year's worth of Apple TV free. I wouldn't have signed up to it, but the first thing I did, because so many people had been like pushing me to like talk about it with them, is The Morning Show. I don't know, have any of you guys seen The Morning Show? I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm only like 4 episodes in, but I'm just like fascinated with the way that they are showing multiple perspectives in this ongoing Me Too movement. And yeah, I'm finding it really, really interesting. So I'm really, really enjoying that.
Had a few people talk about how much they love that.
Have you seen it, Crystal?
I haven't watched it. I think I've seen a couple of snippets.
I'd love to chat to you about it. So yeah, it'd be good if you saw it.
I watch Little Fires Everywhere. It comes to Hulu or this month.
I think I saw it's coming on to Prime.
Yes, Prime. Yeah, it's coming under some UK streaming service, and it's got Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington, and they produce as well as star in it, and it's based on this fantastic book. I finished it because it came out here last month. It is, well, the reviews were mixed, I'll say. However, I loved it. I unabashedly loved every second of it. I would recommend it.
I will try that, because it was actually one of our book club books, Little Fires Everywhere, and also Normal People, which I
was wondering if we were going to talk about Normal People.
Yeah. I didn't love the book, but I will watch the series and see whether I have a different perspective on it. So my not recommendation, just kind of comment, because you know I really always need to lower the conversation, is obviously Normal People series on BBC iPlayer. Have any of you watched?
Yes, that? Yeah, I watched it on Hulu over here.
Renee, have you not?
No.
Oh, interesting. So the book by Sally Rooney is called Normal People. And they made it into a BBC 12-part drama and took the UK by storm. And largely, there was a lot of comment on the amount of nudity and sex within the series. But I loved it because I think the book is so frustrating to read, because there's so almost such sparse amounts of what's said that you can like read whatever you want to or see whatever you want to within in the in-between bits, which is lovely. And I think the BBC did an incredible job of like conveying that frustration and all those emotions that you feel when you're reading the book in what you see. So I would recommend that, because as well as the beautiful starring cast, I just also think they've done a really brilliant job of adapting it. The other recommendation is not really so much around the content, but I've actually been really struggling going to sleep recently. Not because I'm feeling particularly sad or anxious, but as soon as I get to bed, my brain starts thinking about things and I really struggle to get to bed. But something I've been listening to is Where Should We Begin with Esther Perel, which is a podcast where you kind of step into the office of a couples therapist called Esther Perel, and you can listen in on real couples anonymously kind of talking about the very raw, intimate, profound details of their story, from sexlessness to infidelity to loss, and it's just brilliant. And I don't know why I find it good to fall asleep to, but I think hearing different voices, and also it's interesting as well, has been really nice.
Lucy, I think you might probably have seen this at Google as well, but we've certainly seen a lot of interest to what you were saying, Crystal, about people not being able to sleep well. I personally am sleeping pretty well. I think it's because I have a exercise game on my Nintendo Switch, so I kind of work out like normal, which is a blessing. And if I'm working out fine, I tend to sleep fine. But I have heard that, and I've seen through our audience engagement, that there are so many people struggling to sleep like never before, because their days are so different. They almost can't turn their brain off, and their night just doesn't feel the same anymore. I don't think you're alone in that, Crystal, at all. I think most people seem to be struggling sleeping.
We are definitely seeing that. Lots and lots of searches for how to sleep better and how to drop off to sleep. Probably, I think, when we started talking about it, certainly about three or four weeks in, that seems to be when people were really searching for it. I've heard a lot about the dreams. People are having really crazy, surreal dreams at the moment as well, I guess, because we're not, like you said, Crystal, we're not really being stimulated so much. We're not seeing tube ads, we're not going out, we're not seeing people or fashion or whatever it may be. You know, our minds are sort of giving us that whilst we're asleep, it seems. It's very bizarre.
Thank you so much to our incredible panel guests from New York and obviously in the UK. It's been such a pleasure to have you all. And also, I think it will be so lovely for our listeners to hear that they're not necessarily alone in being bookworms and then not reading or looking for different types of stimulus. I think they'll find that incredibly reassuring. And it's been fascinating to hear about how it's impacted you both from a work perspective as well as a personal one. To all of our listeners, please continue to tell other people about our podcast and to rate us on whatever platform that you listen to us on. And other than that, keep safe. We are sending you lots of love and look forward to hearing from you all soon.